it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Day 7 of the government shutdown. We have the story.
A man is dead after a rollover crash in North Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Wichita teen killed in a weekend crash has been identified. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Two votes Monday failed once again to temporarily fund the government and end the shutdown.
On day 7 of this federal shutdown, the finger-pointing continues as to who's to blame. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Republicans have to come to the table.
We cannot go forward unless they sit down and seriously negotiate with Democrats to address the health care crisis.
But Senate Majority Leader John Thune told Fox Business host Larry Kudlow, while the shutdown lingers, there will be no dialogue.
If they want to have a conversation about some of these other issues, I've said we're open to that, but you got to open up the government first.
President Trump did say in a Truth Social post Monday night he's open to working with Democrats, but the government must be allowed to reopen. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
A Wichita man has died following a rollover crash in North Wichita. Highway Patrol troopers say 39-year-old Bradley Tees lost control of his car while trying to exit on hydraulic from northbound I-135 yesterday morning. The car rolled over and hit a light pole. Tees was pronounced dead at the scene. Troopers say the driver was not using restraint.
A Wichita teen died in a crash over the weekend.
It happened around 2 Sunday morning near Central and Hydraulic. Officers found the driver, identified as 18-year-old Kadrian Jackson, trapped under his vehicle. He was transported to an area hospital where he later died. Investigators say Jackson was westbound on Central when a 32-year-old motorcyclist ran a red light, hitting the car, causing it to roll. Police suspect that the motorcyclist may have been impaired at the time of the crash. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
An Augusta man is found dead following a shooting at El Dorado Lake Monday morning at the Goose Cove campgrounds on the east side of the lake. Butler County deputies found 57-year-old Rodney Logan unresponsive from an apparent gunshot wound. He died at the scene. A suspect was taken into custody.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will look at an agreement to pay for bridge inspections and repairs. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
We have a lot of infrastructure, and that's really part of our capital improvement program. So we'll be discussing that. A lot of that is funded by the local sales tax. But again, we have to make sure that the infrastructure we have is inspected, rehabbed, and repaired.
And Wu commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
A federal judge is not blocking the National Guard from being sent to Illinois for now.
Federal Judge April Perry decided against a restraining order that would have temporarily stopped the National Guard in Illinois and Texas from being deployed to Chicago. She gave the Justice Department till Wednesday to respond to Chicago's lawsuit. Earlier Monday, Governor J.B. Pritzker accused the Trump administration of inciting the city's residents with the other forms of federal law enforcement already deployed.
Donald Trump, Kristi Noem, and Gregory Bovino have brought their militarized CBP and ICE agents to the streets of Chicago to cause violence and chaos in this city.
A different federal judge in Oregon has blocked the administration, for now, from federalizing State Guard troops in an effort to send them to Portland. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
A close one for the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football last night. We'll have highlights and reaction, and we've also got a big-time K-State birthday today. So we all talk about that coming up in sports.
The Ukrainian military says its long-range drones hit a major Russian ammunition plant. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. The Ukrainian military says its long-range drones hit a major Russian ammunition plant, a key oil terminal, and an important weapons depot behind the front line, cranking up pressure on Moscow's military logistics. The Ukrainian general staff says it struck the Sverdlov ammunition plant in western Russia, causing multiple explosions and a fire. Says the plant supplies Russian forces with aviation and artillery ordnance, aviation bombs, and anti-aircraft and anti-tank munitions.
President Trump is urging negotiators in Egypt to move quickly on the Israel-Hamas-Gaza peace plan. Fox's Jennifer Griffin has more from Tel Aviv.
The negotiations in Sharm el-Sheikh focused on the release of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners, not the more complicated issues of Hamas disarmament and the Israeli military's withdrawal from Gaza. This weekend, President Trump called Prime Minister Netanyahu to say Hamas had accepted his 20-point plan. Trump denied an Axios report that he grew frustrated with the Israeli prime minister and said, "I don't know why you are always so expletive negative. This is a win. Take it." There are 48 hostages who remain in Gaza, 20 of them believed to be alive.
And today marks 2 years since the October 7th Hamas attacks in Israel.
California's attorney general is suing a San Diego suburb.
Attorney General Rob Bonta claims the police department in El Cajon is breaking state law by sharing data from automated license plate readers with other states. The data, he says, could be used to target immigrants or people traveling to California for abortion or gender-related surgeries. El Cajon's Mayor Bill Wells calls that ludicrous and says this is political.
This is just the attorney general doing what the attorney general does. They bully cities into complying because cities don't want to have to pay to defend themselves.
While the mayor says he is confident they'd prevail, it'll be up to El Cajon's city council to decide whether to spend the money to fight the lawsuit. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
The Supreme Court is set to hear arguments in a case that could affect the future of LGBTQ conversion therapy.
Supreme Court justices will weigh the case of Childs v. Salazar, in which therapist Kaylee Childs says Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for young people violates her free speech rights. Childs, a Christian, says the law, quote, censors her conversations with clients. Conversion therapy is treatment intended to change a client's sexual orientation or gender identity, and more than 20 states have restricted the practice through laws, while others use regulatory agencies or executive orders. Colorado's law, passed in 2019, bans mental health professions from providing clients under 18 with conversion therapy, but does not apply to someone who is, quote, engaged in the practice of religious ministry. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic here in the Wichita area, well, things a little wet and slippery out there. Otherwise, well, the traffic volumes, they are picking up. We have a stalled out vehicle now left over from that traffic accident northbound I-135 between I-235 and MacArthur Road down there in South Wichita. So watch out in that area. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Ted. It's a little soggy out there this morning. As you step out the door, you're going to notice some of the wet weather, but also probably the cool weather because we're only in the mid-50s this morning, and it's finally feeling like October once again. Just a quick update here on the rain because basically everything's moving from west to east, and the rain goes all the way back into Stafford County. So it stretches west of Wichita by about 50, 60 miles or so, and it's going to continue to move on from west to east. Now, eventually in the next couple of hours, so we'll say by 9 or 10 o'clock this morning, this rain is out of here, and then we'll just be left with the cool October weather for the rest of the day. Decreasing clouds, the afternoon temperature up to about 65, and north to northeast winds will continue at around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mostly clear tonight, the low near 50. Wednesday's forecast is dry, and it'll be a little warmer tomorrow with a high up to 71. And then there could be a few morning showers or thunder showers on Thursday. But once we get past about 9 o'clock Thursday morning, that's the end of the rain, sunshine, and warming it up. We haven't seen the last of the 80s yet. We're close to 80 on Thursday and should see some 80s again by Friday. So Mother Nature playing games with us again this week, cooling it down, warming it back up. I don't know, some people say this is what makes you sick because the weather's all over the place. This morning in Wichita, we've got showers in the area, 55 degrees our current temperature. Wichita's had an inch 36 in the past 24 hours, Jubera Airport with 0.66, and McConnell has had over 2 inches, so the amounts do vary certainly across town. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
We had some thunder and lightning this morning, but no severe weather, right?
Yeah, no severe weather out there, just kind of a, you know, an early morning wake-up call for some of us, I guess.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's the forecast with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS, 12 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 7th. Yesterday's high temperature in Wichita, 81 degrees, normal high 75. 81 yesterday, and today we're going to be lucky if we hit the mid-60s.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's the way it works. October 7th, I beg your pardon, on this date in 1970, Puerto Rico may have suffered the worst natural disaster to this date when a slow-moving tropical depression produced 6 days of torrential rains. They were getting some places 32 inches an hour, which is about what we get in a year here in Wichita. Flooding caused $62 million in damage and claimed 18 lives. That was in 1970 in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, every 7 or 8 years, Puerto Rico just gets hit by something pretty bad.
It's right out there in hurricane
country. Yep, it's right in the right in the bullseye.
On this day 22 years ago, 2003, Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor of California in a special recall election to remove Democratic Governor Gray Davis from the office. Arnold won by a landslide, took office on November 17th. That was 22 years ago. This big...
I don't even remember what the recall was about.
I don't either. Was he from Austria, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
I believe Austria. Mr. Universe or whatever, great big body he has. All right.
Kind of a persona and a body.
Yeah.
Both bigger than life.
Yeah. Birthdays today. I've got a really good one for you, Ted. Vladimir Putin is 73 today.
How old is he?
73. Mm. Former intelligence officer who has served as president of Russia since 2012. What's that, 13 years now?
Boy, it seems longer.
Previously served from 2000 to 2008. So he's been president. This is his second time. As Putin was permitted two more consecutive terms without regard for his previous tenure, the 2020 constitutional amendment gave him legal authority to stay in office until 2036.
Yeah, he does whatever he wants.
So this guy's going to be around a long time.
And even for those years when he wasn't president, his right-hand man was president, and he was behind everything he was doing.
He's a dandy. I'll put that nicely.
One of these people on the planet that has just caused
all untold misery,
death and misery for thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
One person.
You'd like to look him in the face and say, why do you think you can do – why did you do this? And he would just – he wouldn't care.
No,
I don't care.
Nope, he doesn't.
Get out of my face. I don't care. What a guy.
Mm.
Leading one of the biggest nations in the world. Something's not right here. Today is not only Taco Tuesday, Ted. It's also National Taco Day. Naturally, many places having special deals on tacos today, mostly through loyalty apps and programs. Taco Bell's offering soft tacos for $1. I shouldn't say that. Maybe they're not doing that here. But anyways, there's a lot of places offering special deals.
I wish I knew that yesterday. I had tacos yesterday.
Well, too late. I ate two of them, plus an enchilada.
You're on National Taco Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrating National Taco Eve.
Yeah, I ate two of them plus an enchilada at El Mexico on Saturday on South Seneca.
Tasty.
I almost couldn't finish that meal. I don't know why I ordered that enchilada extra, but I did. Good tacos.
Good job.
Do you remember your first taco?
No.
No? I do. I was sitting in the parking lot at Griff's on West Street with my good friend Steve Boyd, who always introduced me to the latest. He introduced me to pizza. Okay. He said, there's a Taco Tico across the street. You ever had a taco? I said, no. All right. So I went over there and we bought a couple of tacos. He said, this is the way you eat it. And he showed me the whole thing and he introduced me to tacos and I like them.
There you go.
There you go.
See, one of my friends will not eat a taco. He says there's no way he could even possibly hold it without everything falling apart. And he doesn't understand the mechanics of that. And I try to tell him it's super easy. You just eat the thing and it's delicious.
Yeah. But seems like he may have some mental shortcomings there.
Maybe.
Well, like you, I'm sure the first one I had had to be Taco Tico.
Sure.
Yeah. Whatever.
7:17, Stephen's Head of the Morning here on this Tuesday morning. Time for sports with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right, we take a look at Monday Night Football last night. Kansas City Chiefs on the road on Monday Night Football, taking on the first-place Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Chiefs had a 14-0 lead early in this game. Could they hold on? Well, that's where things got a little complicated. The Chiefs, pretty good defense in the first half, and then just could not stop Jacksonville in the second half. That was the problem. Chiefs took a late lead, but then an out-of-bounds kickoff by Harrison Butker of the Chiefs gave the Jags a very short field. They started at their own 40-yard line, and it only took Jacksonville a minute 22 to regain the lead on a weird play. Mitch Holtis had the call last night. It was right here, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
So it's first down and goal to go at the one-yard line. 30 seconds to go in the game. Chiefs lead 28-24. And now stumbling is Lawrence. He loses his footing. The Chiefs now trying to get it from behind. He's going to run into the end zone. But was he ruled down by contact? It's a touchdown for Jacksonville. But did the Chiefs touch him as he stumbled? A confusion now on the field. At 23 seconds, the Jaguars
holding defense number six.
Holding on Kansas City.
Result of the play is a touchdown.
Trevor Lawrence stumbled and then got up and then a missed tackle. And it would have been a do-over anyway with holding on Brian Cook. 30-28, Jacksonville at 23 seconds to go in the game.
And that would be the game. Chiefs with another penalty on their last-ditch possession. And they weren't able to get anything going. Jacksonville wins at 31-28. The Chiefs defense gives up 24 points in the second half.
Yeah.
In a 31-28 loss to Jacksonville. And you just heard one of those penalties there, even though play negated it. But a lot of flags against the Chiefs last night. Here's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
I mean, you know how this thing goes. You have 14 penalties, 13 penalties, whatever we end up having to their four. I mean, that's a tough ask, and we've got to be more disciplined, whether they were right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I've questioned a few, but we'll see when we look at the tape on it. But it is what it is. They called them, so you got to overcome that and be a little bit more disciplined.
Another mistake in the game, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes through a 99-yard pick six for Jacksonville. So that was the difference in the game, too. But Chiefs just making too many mistakes.
Obviously, it sucks. You know, you let a game slip away. Credit to them. They played hard. They played hard the entire game, and they got a lot of good football players. And they closed out there at the end. And so it still sucks whenever you get a lead like that and you're not able to hold it through the rest of the game.
After back-to-back wins, the Chiefs are now back in the loss column at 2-3. They're only a game back in the division. But, boy, they let one get away on the road last night to a first-place team. 31-28 was the final score. And they'll talk about it tonight on the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show. That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight, hosted by Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Doesn't get any easier. The Chiefs will play on Sunday night against another one of the elite teams in the league, the Detroit Lions. So we got Chiefs-Lions coming up Sunday night. And I promised you a big K-State birthday. Former K-State football coach, the legend, Bill Snyder. It's his birthday. He is 86 years old today.
Wow.
He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's won multiple National Coach of the Year awards. And, of course, the football stadium is now named after him, Bill Snyder Family Football Stadium. Pretty amazing story, Bill Snyder. He took over a Kansas State team that had piled up more than 500 losses in 93 years. By far the worst of any Division I-A football team at the time. In fact, when Bill took over, K-State had only been to one bowl game ever. Had not won the conference since the Great Depression. In the past 54 years, they had only had four winning seasons when he took over. In fact, in the last 27 games that K-State played before Bill Snyder took over, they didn't win. 0-26-1. So he easily took over.
No place to go but up.
The worst, the worst football program in America. Sports Illustrated called K-State America's most hapless team. But it was Bill Snyder that had an art professor create the new logo, the Power Cat. Started getting things turned around, and man, by his fourth year, they had things going. And of course, they ended up basically from the mid-1990s into the 2000s, they were in the top 10 every year. And in 1998, they were basically one quarter away from playing for the national championship, but lost to Texas A&M in that Big 12 title game. So in basically in 10 years, they were the worst team in America to rank number one in America. They were ranked number one for a while.
It's a miracle in Manhattan.
It's just insane.
Where'd he come from, Iowa? Something?
Yeah, he'd been coaching under Hayden Fry at Iowa.
He must have known something. Man.
Yep.
I don't know what
K-State made the right hire, didn't they?
He sure did.
Oh, man. Happy birthday to the great Bill Snyder. He is 86 today. At Sports, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Proud to serve veterans that served our nation. It's located in Northeast Wichita. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch. And Sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumpkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumpkin Pumpkin, it's now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here.
7:23 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. Great Minds awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on KNSS. And 54 degrees. As vote after vote fails to end a government shutdown, concerns about aviation safety are mounting, with federal employees asked to work without pay. Fox's Chad Pergram has the latest on Capitol Hill.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has seen an uptick in people calling out sick. Lawmakers are gaming out how long the shutdown runs. GOP Louisiana Senator John Kennedy predicts another week.
It won't end until everybody in the Senate takes their ego out back and shoots it. And then it'll land.
Democrats demand money to curb health care premiums, which could spike. But if you squint, you can see signs of bipartisanship. House Speaker Mike Johnson is discussing Obamacare subsidies with prominent Democrats.
President Trump told reporters about conversations with Democrats, saying very good things could happen with respect to health care.
Canada's prime minister meets with President Trump today amid ongoing trade tensions.
Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney is hoping to secure tariff relief when he sits down with President Trump today.
Companies from Canada are moving into the United States, you know. Everybody's moving back into the U.S.
President Trump is not previewing any major trade breakthrough with his northern neighbor, but has delayed some tariffs on Canadian imports. The two leaders have met a handful of times since Carney was elected prime minister in March. President Trump, in previous meetings, has continued to float the idea of Canada becoming the 51st U.S. state. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A Butler County Sheriff's deputy was hospitalized following a rollover crash Monday morning as the deputy was responding with lights and siren to an emergency call. The Kansas Highway Patrol says the truck, driven by 25-year-old Chloe Walker, left the roadway, striking an embankment before becoming airborne. The vehicle landed and rolled in a field. Deputy Walker was hospitalized with minor injuries.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will look at paying for improvements to the police department. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
The property and evidence facility, which is better known as Rounds and Porter, there will be some additional dollars to put into the improvements to that facility. That's, again, where police store all that evidence. Then there's going to be another item regarding police protective equipment. These are helmets, shields, and a lot of the devices that they need. And that budget is $1.1 million.
And Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
A former senior staffer to Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is sentenced to probation for a fake bomb threat at City Hall.
Brian K. Williams admitted he falsely told cops that he'd received a call from an unknown man who claimed to have placed a bomb in City Hall. Williams was, at the time, deputy mayor of public safety. The false alarm resulted in the LAPD sending officers to search the building. Prosecutors say Williams made the call after becoming overwhelmed with stress and anxiety. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Postal deliveries in Canada have ground to a halt as thousands of postal workers across the country walked off the job. The nationwide strike comes after the Canadian government authorized widespread reforms to Canada Post that would shut some post offices and end door-to-door delivery. The strike by the Postal Workers Union also comes amid an ongoing dispute over pay and benefits that resulted in a weeks-long walkout late last year. Now we'll look at the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
It's going to be a wet morning across the area with rain and thunder through midday, then mostly cloudy and much cooler this afternoon, high 67, northeast winds 5 to 15. Little bit of clearing this evening, then back over to mostly cloudy skies overnight, 53 is the low. Decreasing clouds and mild on Wednesday, a high in the low 70s, becoming mostly sunny on Thursday with a high in the low 80s. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now we have rain in the area, the north wind at 6 miles per hour, 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:35, Steve and Ted in the morning. Time for our weekly visit with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Steve and Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
Nice to have a little rain falling, right?
Oh, it is great. I'm sitting on the intersection, pulled over to talk to you guys. I'm out here at 135th and 45th Street out by the May School District, and it is coming down pretty good out here.
Really?
So I love it.
Good. We got our own, we got a weather update.
Yeah,
from,
love it.
From the street.
Well, yeah. We'll get you your...
Could you move over to the east side and tell us what's going on over there?
I'll make my way there now.
All right. Hey, you got a... Do we have a county commission meeting this week?
We don't, and it's really important why we're not meeting tomorrow. We have... Kansas Department of Transportation is having a local consult. Now, this is something they do annually, and they do it, I think they do four or five of these across the state, where they'll grab all the regional stakeholders from cities and counties and or any type of organization, transportation organizations, and we gather and talk about and try to contend for local projects that we want to see get into the KDOT pipeline. So we'll have representatives from the city of Wichita, city of Mays, Goddard, all 20 cities in Sedgwick County will have representatives there, including county government. And then other counties will also be in the room. We're talking about, some specific projects that we'd like to see KDOT prioritize. We're talking about Kellogg and Ridge Road, the flyover over there when you're trying to get over to the airport. That's pretty archaic. We've got to do some things there, and we're asking KDOT to help support it. Looking at West Kellogg from 119th Street all the way out to 167th Street. There's some infrastructure needs there and modernizing that as traffic continues to build in West Sedgwick County. Then we've talked about K-254 out by Bel Air, a lot of traffic out that way, and then some mega projects like ARC 95 out down by Derby, and then the old Northwest Expressway. I'm going to continue bringing that up and talking about that publicly, but we're going to contend for these projects to see if we can get them in the KDOT pipeline for KDOT funding, and talking a lot about safety concerns and even economic development. So that's why we're not meeting tomorrow morning. It's a local consult. And what we've done in this region really well the last few years is to contend with KDOT and try to get KDOT dollars with infrastructure developments down here in Sedgwick County.
Well, will the factors of some of those open intersections out in the west side, that kind of thing, does that come into play here? You know, the ones I'm talking about, the intersections where we've had fatalities and so forth.
Yeah, that's more local. So you're thinking a lot, particularly in West Sedgwick County, 135th Street and 29th, talking about 167th. See, these are things that we're talking about at the county level quite frequently. And many times, and I'll just kind of tell you how this works, is we do traffic studies with our engineers to determine when we need to put signals at a light or maybe even a four-way stop. But here's what we know is coming in West Sedgwick County, a lot of housing development. I know in that corridor between 135th and 167th Street, I've seen estimates of over 2,100 houses that are under development. So we know the traffic is coming. Goddard School District, May School District, they continue to grow. So we're going to try to work ahead and try to develop a program to maybe not lighted intersections, but some of these intersections need four-way stops. And some of this is, right now it's a two-way stop, and these are old county roads that are no longer rural roads, and they're 55 mile per hour speed limits. They're paved roads and two-way intersections. Some of these need to be four-way intersections, and we have those across all five commissioner districts that we're looking at. And these are conversations we're having rather aggressively right now at the county.
Let's go back. And one of the things you mentioned was getting into and out of the airport. I've never thought about that, yeah. But is that something that's a real issue right now?
Well, I'll tell you, we're really proud of the airport.
Yeah.
City of Wichita has done a great job. We have a wonderful airport, and people that come here and fly here to visit with us or doing business here, or even companies that are coming here and thinking about moving headquarters or expanding here, air travel is a really important ingredient in what they're considering. How many one-way flights can they get to reduce traffic time for their personnel? Things of that sort. We're proud of our airport, but what we do know is that intersection there from Kellogg and Ridge Road, it really does need some updating, and some of the bridge infrastructure there is also needing some modernization. So we're contending for it. City of Wichita, Gary Jansen, the Public Works Director, he has really advanced this conversation, and it's elevated at our local consult. It's going to elevate to one of our primary projects that we're pushing for. So that's one of several. There's several needs. You know, the one thing that's actually coming down the pipeline with KDOT, and it's a mega project, is the old canal route. This is a 6-mile stretch. It's one of the largest bridges in the entire state of Kansas. In fact, I think it is the largest bridge in the entire state of Kansas. And this is something that the infrastructure is deteriorating. And this is a mega project with mega dollars. And we've been talking with KDOT about this here for the last few years. And again, this is another project that's going to elevate to the top of the list for us.
I drive on that every morning, and I can tell you, it's a Teddy Roosevelt roadway, a rough-riding son of a gun.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just the infrastructure of the infrastructure of the bridge. So, hey, I love the Teddy Roosevelt Rough Rider reference. You're well-read, Steve. That was good. That was quick and good.
You
Very
know,
witty.
I never fail to retain useless information. Think that one over.
That's what my wife says about me.
Well, all right. Hey, listen.
You mentioned the Northwest Express. Will we ever see that in our lifetime?
Nah.
I do. I do. I absolutely do. And there's a couple reasons why. Again, economic development demands it. What happened in Kansas City with the 435 expressway that wraps around the city. Look what happened to Olathe and Overland Park and Shawnee and all these cities and the explosive growth. That's one reason. It makes a lot of sense. The second reason is we've already invested over $20 million into this, of the protective overlay that stretches from Mays all the way out to Goddard. 40% of that land has already been purchased in the protective overlay. And my view is, if all this land has already been purchased by the state, and we've invested over $20 million, it is absolutely unfathomable that we're going to allow government to invest those kinds of public dollars and do nothing. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be a shovel in the ground next year. I'm not saying that there's going to be a shovel in the ground within the next 5 years. But we need to see progress, and we need to be good stewards of the tax dollars that have already been invested. And this makes sense. Economic development follows road infrastructure development, and this could be the biggest project for the catalyst of economic development in Sedgwick County history.
5 years, I may not see that then. Okay. Today is celebrating National Taco Day. How about that?
Yeah. I love a good taco.
All right.
Remember the old taco shops around? Taco Tico was around. Taco Grande was around. We've got some good ones. Now we got all kinds of street vendors that are doing street tacos. Taco's a legacy dish here in Sedgwick County.
Maybe we should change the name of the city to Tacoville. What do you think?
We'll get a proclamation in order.
All right. Thank you. Hey, have a good one. We'll talk with you again next week. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty, Steve and Ted of the Morning, and coming up, what's next for the former All-Star Adventures on Web Road? Kirk Semenoff, Wichita Business Journal, on the way. Steve and Ted of the Morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted of the Morning, KNSS, 7:48 on a Tuesday morning. three big things.
Three.
Monday Night Football, Jacksonville 31, Kansas City 28.
Two.
Man is fatally shot at El Dorado Lake. Suspect in custody.
One.
Day 7 of the federal government shutdown with no sign of a deal. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Right now in traffic, we've still got rain falling here in the Wichita area, so we've still got wet roadways out there. Just be a little extra careful on those roadways. Make sure you're keeping your headlights on so that the other motorists can see you out there. And things are going to be a little bit more slippery. Got some pretty heavy traffic now going westbound on Kellogg, and that is from Washington Street all the way back to Hillside. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jed Chambers.
60% chance for rain early, then becoming mostly sunny later today with a high of 65 degrees. Yesterday's high, 81. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 52, and then on Wednesday, mostly sunny, and with a high of 70 degrees. Now, rain, north wind at 6 miles per hour, 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Police departments are also finding ways AI can help them.
Fox on Tech.
The program is called Draft One. Deputy Dylan Lane has a body camera rolling during every incident. It records the whole interaction that gets sent to a secure cloud. Then, back at Deputy Lane's computer, the program uses the recording to create a full report with AI.
A report to this could take me up to, I would say, 20 to 30 minutes, whereas this, we're looking at 5 to 10 minutes now.
Captain Derek Ogden with the Pima County Sheriff's Department says that's not the only way they're using artificial intelligence to their advantage.
A detective from our Criminal Investigations Division used AI to help him identify a deceased, unidentified person.
Max Isaacs from NYU's The Policing Project says he sees the technology's potential, but also raised concerns about its accuracy.
AI is not perfect. It can rely on data that is flawed. The system itself could be flawed.
With Fox on Tech, Amalia Roy, Fox News.
A mixed close on the stock market Monday.
President Trump says that 25% tariffs on medium and heavy-duty truck imports will begin on November 1st. In an effort to strengthen domestic manufacturing. Verizon Communications stock falling Monday after the telecom giant announced that former PayPal CEO Dan Schulman would take over the CEO position from Hans Vestberg, who has led Verizon since 2018. Shares of chipmaker AMD surging Monday, bolstered by its multi-billion-dollar deal with OpenAI. Stocks ending Monday mostly higher, the S&P 500 finishing up 24 points, NASDAQ up 161, the Dow finishing down 63. Laura Cantor, Fox News.
What's next for the former All-Star Adventures on Webb Road? Time for the Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. There may be action soon at the former All-Star Adventures on Webb Road in East Wichita. Developers of a golf-oriented mammoth clubhouse concept have moved closer to starting construction after applying for a building permit worth $5.4 million from the Metropolitan Area Building and Construction Department. Once the permit is issued, work could start on the site. The mammoth clubhouse concept would replace the existing golf driving range on the southern half of the 23-acre property for a covered driving range with a concessions building and a mini-golf course. Denver-based Monfort Companies partnered with Wichita businessman Wink Hartman II to acquire 12 acres and secure a mortgage worth $2.26 million from Vintage Bank Kansas, according to Sedgwick County records. Monfort is also marketing a 1.2-acre parcel on the site for retail development through Landmark Commercial Real Estate. Lang Real Estate, which sold the southern portion of the former All-Star to Monfort, has been looking for buyers for the northern half of the property. The latest move by the Crown Uptown Theater's owner to revise capacity of his venue was met with criticism and questions at a District 1 advisory board meeting Monday night. Owner Mike Brown said he's been discussing with City of Wichita staff about changing the planned unit development for the theater that would enable capacity, which is now at 850, to be determined not by zoning, but instead by building and fire codes. That met with criticism.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Criticism from a few College Hill residents and questions from district advisory board members who wanted to know what the revised number would be. In the end, a 5-5 vote at the DAB meeting won't keep the proposal from going to the MAPC on Thursday and before the city council November 6th, where the decision will ultimately be made. And Wichita apparently knows its food and drink really well compared to the rest of Kansas. If you go by the recent Kansas Hospitality and Restaurant and Hospitality Association awards handed out recently in Lawrence, Wichita won in 6 of 10 award categories, including Jen Refschneider of the Belmont as Chef of the Year, Cody Sherwood of Wichita Brewing Company as Craft Brewer of the Year, and K-Pot Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot of Wichita as the Hot New Concept Award winner. Terry Johnson from Public at the Brickyard won Heart of Industry Award, given to a staff member who goes above and beyond and exemplifies dependability, teamwork, and dedication to the industry. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Seminoff.
All right, Kirk, and the Business Journal, the update brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. And today is National Forgiveness and Happiness Day, celebrating forgiveness and the amount of happiness it can bring to one's life. While many people hold on to grudges and fantasize about revenge, studies have revealed that the best way to heal is to actually forgive the person who hurt you. So would you like to publicly forgive anybody who's really wronged you in the past? Kirk, you can do it now if you wish, or you can...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep it to yourself, whichever.
I'm just thinking about fantasizing about revenge. I realize I don't do that enough, maybe.
I don't either.
Maybe I should do that a little more.
It drives my wife crazy because she's Greek, and they hold grudges forever. They're like the Italians. They've got the evil eye, you know, forever. And she debunks her no end that I don't proclaim any enemies at all in the world. So, anyway, there you go. I got to celebrate a birthday today. This is a guy, Mike Aaron is having a birthday. And you don't know Mike Aaron, I don't think, but we were in the seventh grade playing for that really hot Elks Club baseball team. He was quite a hitter, quite a star. And we've been buddies since, well, actually, I see him once every 35 or 40 years. So I'd like to say happy birthday to my good friend, my close personal friend, Mike Aaron, having a birthday today. There you go.
They still talk about that seventh grade Elks baseball team.
It was a treasure. It was a great team. Used to play our games at East High School on Saturday mornings. All right. Thank you, sir. We will check with you again next hour. Coming up, Ted, 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Stay with us. This is day 7 of the federal government shutdown. We'll tell you about that coming up. Ted, we'll have a look at sports as always.
Yes, highlights and reaction from a close game on Monday Night Football for the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Got that coming up in sports.
Plus, entertainment news, it's The Blur.
Yeah, we'll get you all your entertainment news coming up, including the debut of a famous cartoon character. It's all coming up in The Blur at 8:35 this morning. Do not miss it.
And we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.